Welcome to the Dayspring Podcast, where we delve into faith and fellowship through the teachings of Christ. Join us every week as we explore God's Word and discuss how to live out your faith in today's world. Be blessed as you listen to this sermon. Your kingdom come, your
will be done. I'm speaking on what I've titled, It's Still Jesus. It's Still Jesus. It's still Jesus. Tell somebody it's still Jesus. Yeah, you can wear suit, you can wear t-shirt, it's still Jesus. Your hair can be done, maybe today it's not done, but it's still Jesus. Yeah. Matthew chapter 11. I'm going to read from verse 7 to verse 12. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask that you speak to us through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. As they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what did you go out to see? A prophet?" Jesus answers himself and says, "Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet." So this one is part of the 5%. Dr. Otabo said 95%. You haven't reached. But John the Baptist there, Jesus himself is saying that he is a prophet. And even as a prophet, he is more. So in the 5%, he is among the top 0.5. Unique. Verse 10, "For this is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.'" So the reason he is more than a prophet, he's special, is because this is the one who announced the coming of the Messiah. "Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist." If he says born of women, it means that you have a mother. "But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John." If you are in the kingdom of heaven, you are greater than John. "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force." Intercessors, prayer warriors, you have used this scripture before. Yeah. Amen. Now, Matthew chapter 11 begins with uncertainty, and it is John's uncertainty. Now, this John is the one we started the series with, and it's just fitting that we are ending with the same John, because it's John who began preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand," and then Jesus took that message and continued to preach it. So John now is in prison. And he's in prison because he couldn't keep his mouth shut. There's an issue with Herod, who's gone to marry his brother's wife, and John the Baptist decided not to keep quiet about it. It is good that you defend what is good and you speak against what is bad, but you must do it in wisdom. Are you following me? If you don't do it in wisdom, you can end up being the bad person. A word to the wise. People can come to court with genuine cases, but the way they went about the case, they now become the ones in the wrong. So manage how you deal with wrong things so that you are not wrong after trying to deal with the wrong. So he's in prison and he's going to be beheaded. It's going to be by Herod's own daughter. She's going to request for his head. And she's being influenced by her mother. But before we get there, John is now in prison and he has two problems. His two problems are very simple. First, he's a relative of Jesus. And if he's in prison, he will expect that Jesus should come and do something about it. If you were found in a tight spot, would you not expect your parents to come? Would you not expect your family to come and help you? If family will not even come, would you not expect pastor to come? Yes. So John is not wrong for saying, I'm in trouble. You that you say you are a king, you are powerful, you are the Messiah. What are you doing about it? And I'm sure some people are here wondering, Jesus, I followed you. And I'm going through this. What are you doing about it? And the second issue he's faced with now is, you say you are also the Messiah. You are even, if you won't even do it for me, what about the nation of Israel? Because you are supposed to be the one who will come in with some military power according to how we read the prophecies. That you should come and bring deliverance to Israel. Make Israel his own state. But we are not seeing you do any kind of thing military-wise. You have just come. You are going about talking, healing people. Yes, you are working miracles. But what about the miracle power when it comes to fighting? Because can you imagine? I'm sure they will imagine that once the Messiah comes, every Israelite man will become like Samson. And start running. Because once Samson and what he did to the Philistines, he came with anointing, and I'm sure they were expecting that military power would just deliver all of them at once. And for some reason, John has an expectation of the king, and the expectation is not met. How many of us have gotten saved, entered the kingdom, have expectations of Jesus, and somehow that's not what you are seeing? And that was John's problem. So he sent some of his leaders to Jesus to ask him in the verse 2 and 3, are you the one or should we expect another? I heard somebody say that to a girl. That the way the girl was behaving around him, the way he too liked the girl, he just went to the girl straight. Spiritual man, are you the one or should I expect another? And that's the question that John asks Jesus. Are you the one? Because this same person who did the announcing is now questioning the announcement he made. Because the action is not in agreement with what he expected. That you who came and said, I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. You who said it and told all your friends. When I got saved, I went into the school. I was the only person from my JHS who went there. I sent letters to everybody that was in my class that I am saved. I sent letters. I put stamp on it. Today, some you don't know what stamp is, but I'm sure our generation will know stamp. How can it be that the very person who makes the announcement is now questioning the very announcement he made? And that is what can happen in the kingdom of God. When he made the announcement, he saw the Holy Spirit. Please understand me. He didn't give his life to Christ like the way you did. Nothing really happened. You cried more and that was it. He announced the Messiah. The Holy Spirit told him the Messiah will come. He actually baptized the Messiah. When he baptized the Messiah, he saw the Spirit of God rest on the Messiah. And when he finished seeing that, he heard a voice from heaven. And this person who got all these signs is now questioning the very thing he had seen. God can heal you and you will still question his power. God can provide for you and you will still think someone can provide better. Jesus can do everything and you still wonder. The one asking for a sign is the one who had every sign needed to affirm that this is the Messiah. So you can get to a point in life and wonder, this Jesus that you said you believe, are you sure? And today, I just want to remind you, it's still Jesus. It's still Jesus. It hasn't changed. Jesus gave a response to him, and this was the response. Go and tell John, verse 4, the things that you hear and see. The blind see. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised up. And the poor are giving money. The poor are giving money. The poor have the gospel preached to them. So the preaching of the gospel can produce a rich person. The gospel. Look at verse 6. And blessed is he who is not offended, disappointed because of me. Because disappointment is the fruit of unmet expectations. That this same John who expected it a certain way, military power, Jesus will come in, rebuke Herod and pull John out, is going about healing people and delivering people. And so sometimes you come to Jesus and there's an expectation you have. And the expectation is not met. But it's still Jesus. And the reason I'm telling you it's still Jesus is because when these disciples left, Jesus addressed John's concern. He addressed it in the verse 11 and the verse 12. He said in the verse 11 that among those born of women, there has not risen greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. What was Jesus saying? Jesus was saying, you may be my relative. And when it comes to the kingdom of men, there's no one like you. You announce the king. You announce the kingdom of God. You are great. There's no disputing it. But after you announced and the kingdom of God has come, anyone who chooses to be in the kingdom is greater than my cousin. He is the one who will take my attention. He is not just a cousin. He is not somebody who's related to me. He is a part of me. He is the head and we are the body. When you become a Christian, you are not Jesus' cousin. You are his brother. You are his sister. Are you following me? So he was saying that, look, you may be great, but the ones I really consider great are those who are in the kingdom. And that's how Jesus sees it. That the fact that you are my cousin, I'm still meeting the requirement. And if you, as John, also enter the kingdom, you will also have what is in the kingdom. He was addressing his issues. The second thing John was concerned about was military power. And that is why Jesus said, from the time John came, the same John, from the time John came up till now, the kingdom of God has suffered violence and the violent take it by force. What's he saying? He's saying if you're looking for power, you're looking for a display of power, you're looking for a display of violence, of military might, you are getting it wrong because the violence you are expecting is happening, but it's not happening the way you think. The word there that was used for violence is similar to when, because most of them were fishermen, when a boat is about to dock, when it's about to reach shore, there is, at the port, there's something called a boom, okay? And we take that boom out, and then they dock. And then you close it off so that the ship stays where it's supposed to stay. Either you use that or use an anchor, right? So at that time, that was what they were using. So the word violence they use there is similar to when the ship is coming, but the ship is coming so fast that it doesn't have the opportunity to remove the boom before they dock. So it comes with speed, and before it can be taken off, the ship breaks the boom and enters. He was saying that the violence you are expecting, which will be against Rome, is not the violence I'm bringing. The violence I'm bringing is the speed at which people will enter the kingdom. It's the speed. It's the violence with which people will appropriate the kingdom and move with the kingdom. So what you are expecting, you may have gotten the reading wrong. The expectation you had is wrong, but it's still me. This is what I promised. This is what I'm coming to do. Many times when we receive prophecies, we think it will come in one way. But it's actually going to happen, and it won't happen the way you expected it to happen. I was meeting with the church workers and I said, I will not organize evangelistic buffet again. And the reaction was, Why? It's English. It's not that it is not going to happen again. It is that I will not be the organizer. I'm going to get people to organize it. That is how easy it is to misunderstand things. And when it comes to life, sometimes Jesus will tell you something. Jesus will make something aware to you, make you aware of something, but you can misunderstand it because you think that when he says you are going to be president, it means you are going to be president of Ghana. You will be a president, but it may not necessarily be Ghana. Maybe you could be president of World Bank. So there is ease of misunderstanding God sometimes. And that is what had happened to the same John. He didn't understand. And so Jesus was telling him, don't be disappointed. Don't be offended. Don't break down. Don't suddenly turn, it's still me. Tell somebody, it's still me. Because the danger is, when you start to get disappointed, what happens is you start looking for another. Someone say another. And John is saying, are you the one or should another come? Because if this is not a good enough boyfriend, I'm looking for. If this is not a good enough job, I'm looking for. If this is not a good enough church, I'm looking for. It's so easy for human beings to say, if this isn't okay for me, I'm looking for another. But when it comes to Jesus, don't look for another. Amen. You may be disappointed with how he's done something. You may be disappointed, uncertain with how God may be handling your case. But trust me, he knows what he's doing. And if you don't even understand, encourage yourself, it's still Jesus. It doesn't make sense now, but it's still Jesus. It doesn't look like what he promised you yet, but it's still Jesus. It is Jesus, and it will happen the way he said it will happen. Don't shake, don't replace Jesus with something else. It is still Jesus, and he will still make it good. He promises and he brings it to pass. He will make sure that what he said to you will happen. It is still Jesus. It is still Jesus. Thank him that is still him. Thank him that is still him. Whatever situation you find yourself in today is still Jesus. Once you are in the kingdom of God, it is Jesus with you. You may not be the most prayerful, but it's Jesus. You may not be the one who knows the scripture more than everybody, but it's still Jesus. You may be praying and you doze off, but it's still Jesus you spoke to. You may not be in the best job, but it's still Jesus. You may be in a marriage, you are not even sure how this marriage is working, but it's still Jesus. You may not be married and you are wondering, God, will I ever marry? Should I find another way to get married? Another way to make things happen for myself? No, don't look for another. It's still Jesus. Commit to him. Commit to him. Commit to him. Decide that you will not be offended. You will not be disappointed. It may not make sense, but it is still Jesus. It will still be Jesus. It will still be Jesus. Where else will we go? Who else will we worship? Who will be our king? It is still Jesus. He will not be replaced by another. He will not be replaced by another. He will not be replaced in the kingdom, but he can be replaced in your heart. Make sure in your heart is still Jesus. Commit to him that it will still be him. It will still be him, no matter what. It will still be Jesus. Don't let your disappointment in what you were expecting stop you from following this Jesus. It's still Jesus. It was a manger, but it was still Jesus. It was an ordinary gentleman, a carpenter's son, but it was Jesus. It was somebody who did not run to help his cousin, but it was still Jesus. It was still Jesus, ladies and gentlemen. The one who came to be Savior was hung on a cross and was crucified and was dying with a thief, but it was still Jesus. And it was when he rose from the dead, they saw that it was Jesus. May you have an encounter with Jesus that you will know it's still Jesus. That where you are in life, it is still Jesus. That what you are going through, it is just the shepherd taking you through the valley of the shadow of death. But there will be a hill. There will be green pastures. It's still Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the Dayspring podcast. Hope you were blessed. Connect with us on all social media platforms at ICGC Dayspring. God bless you. Your kingdom come, your will be done.